September the 5th, 2018, from the Lucy Coleman Studio in Los Angeles, California, the United States of America on God's good, great planet Earth. The Webcast. I'm going to stop the music right there because most of you that's been around before the eggs were hatched knows exactly what that is. You know what you were doing when that came out. And I'm going to play the rest of it right now as it leads us into our webcast today to take the power back. And you know who I'm talking to. I'm talking to you guys that's paid taxes, went to work, made all the money, did what you were supposed to do. Some of you are retired, esquired, are just bemired by the fact that you've been dismayed and displaced by youth. Now, there's nothing wrong with youth, but if I were alive, I would tell you what the best things in life are.
The best things in life are free, but you can get
I want to say this before I continue with this record by Barrett Strong, that when he made this, this is what we was doing the hop off of. We'd take the girl's hand and we'd swing her around and twist her around on the dance floor, and we would just keep on singing.
Your love gave me such a thrill.
But what about her love?
But your love don't pay my bills. I need
Yeah, you know, when I graduated from high school, that record, and of course it came out a year or so earlier, and taken from the Motown hits on the Gardy record label, and, you know, I remember when the record came out. But I'd like to ask you a question. If you're my age, I'm a senior citizen now, what about all that money we was talking about getting? Because back in the day, it was easy to get a job. You know, they had a record. I think it was by the Coasters called Get a Job, da 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 da, and all that. I have the record somewhere in my stacks here in the studio, but I want to talk with you senior citizens out there. I want to talk with you folk over 65. I want to talk with you folk that have spent your whole life, okay, in the public disposition called the Christian Church. Those of you that got your little job like I did, went to work, saved your money, bought that little engagement ring for your gal like I did, that, you know what? Most popular pair of pants to wear to Fremont when I went to Fremont was a pair of blue Levi jeans, and we had a paisley shirt, and we used to have our shirt untucked walking around on the campus at Fremont High, and Mr. Royk, the boys' vice principal, would always, you know, we would see him coming and we tuck our shirt in. Because now where the style is drop your pants and let your booty show, well, the style back there was untucking your shirt, because when you went to Fremont back in the day, we weren't allowed to walk around with our shirts untucked. And we're talking about Ivy League shirts, you know, with the button-down collars and things like that. That was back in the day. Girls had to wear bobby socks and Oxford shoes. If they did wear stockings, it was a special occasion when they were dressed in evening attire. Very few girls wore stockings, but it was bobby socks and put some Jergens lotions on their ashy legs. Oh, I remember that, because we boys would look at those legs and thighs. It was just what went on the school campus. Had the bobby socks, dances, and all that kind of stuff back in the day. But money was a frame of reference that we worked on. That's what we were thinking about doing, making money so that we can purchase the things that we need. First of all, what a young man needed was a car, because he lived with mom and dad. And if he cut the front lawn and the backyard, put out the trash, put out the garbage, never talked back to mom and daddy, did what he was supposed to do, when grandma came by, gave her the highest of respect. Grandpa was most of the time with grandma when they came by. We're talking about the African-American home family, not only in Los Angeles, but in Chicago, Philadelphia, New York, in Florida, San Francisco, San Diego, in Phoenix, Arizona. Wherever you went and found an African-American family, you found us listening to Barrett Strong and Money. And, you know, baby, that's what I like. We had to get out and make that money. But who's getting most of your money now, senior citizens? I just want to ask that question. Who are you giving your money away to? Now, it would be nice to have a little safety thing saved up for the grandkids when they graduate from high school. You know, I want to give Junior a nice graduation gift, because he's been such a nice young man. Now, you can't even find Junior. Junior's lost in the cell phone world. Junior don't even know who Grandma is until it's his birthday. And then he gonna say, Grandma, it's my birthday. What you gonna give me? And Junior sees the trash overflowed. He won't even empty it. He won't even sweep up the patio. As a matter of fact, Junior's asking questions of his mother. Who gonna get the house when Grandma die? Y'all feel me yet? Now, those of you that are young that are listening to me and you're saying, I'm not like that. Why? I'd never be like that. Why? I love my family. I love my grandma, my grandpa. I respect all the things that they did for me. Why would you think, Internet pastor, that I would do something as crummy as that? As a matter of fact, I like to take grandma and grandpa to my church, but they don't want to go to my church anymore because they complain that the pastor's asking 3 or 4 times a day for some money. Will you give me some money so I can buy this new wing of the church? Wait a minute, church is dying as they frying. That's right, they frying fish and fried chicken, and the church is dying on the vine. Matter of fact, the grandchildren do not attend church with their grandparents anymore. They may on Mother's Day, Father's Day, or the burial day when they go there. And what are they asking for mainly there? How much money did they leave me? How much money do I have left? What can I get out of this? We all know what that's all about. Well, I want to share something with you older folk out there. And I'm so glad that some of you are taking the time, the opportunity to listen to this man. I'm 74 years old. I have 2 grandchildren. One just went away to college and the other is 15 years old. We promised to spend more time with each other, but he's busy with his friends and I'm busy with mine. You know how that is. But I know one thing. Mateo, my grandson, not worried about how much money he's going to get when I die, because I told him that's not the right perspective or the right objective for you to be focused upon. Now, I want to talk with some of you seniors out there that's been giving all your money away to the pastor. Oh, wait a minute. I can hear a pin drop, huh? Well, I got a record for you, too. And I'm going to play this record, and then I'll come back and give you an explanation on why I played it. This record identifies the people that most senior citizens in the black community gives their money to. Say it again.
Smiling faces show no traces of the evil that lurks within. Smiling faces sometimes they don't tell the truth. Smiling faces tell lies, and I got proof.
Smiling faces tell lies. See, back in the day when we went to school, when we listened to music, the music was a conscience kind of a thing. Y'all know what I'm talking about. It enlightened your consciousness. Now, if you looked at that scenario, that fiasco, that show of a funeral, God bless Aretha, may she rest in peace. You know that the sister was singing to us and giving us an expression of what was going on in our communities at a time when all those things that I was speaking about was paramount in our lives. But now, my friends, let me tell you, I went to pick up my meds today and I was at the counter. Nice young lady. I guess she liked a little white in my beard. I don't know. She's smiling at me. I had on my stingy brim, my shades. I'm dressed all in black. I'm cool because I'm old school. I don't leave the house unless I'm cool. Cleanly shaven. Hair not all nappy on my head and everything. But she smiled at me and I said, well, you know, you're smiling at a senior citizen and I'm here to stop the pain, so I'm coming to get my gain. And I think I have some cholesterol stuff and some other pills. And she just looked at me and said, oh, you're going to be all right, Pops. I said, yeah, I'll be all right when I leave this planet. See, now I had the right attitude because I'm saying I know I come here to leave. We was taught that in church. That's why we went to church. A lot of people think we go to church just to have a slap happy pappy time. A lot of whites and Asians and Hispanics looked at that Aretha funeral. 7 hours. You say, man, my goodness, what is that all about? What were those people doing hee-hawing on stage? Who is that little girl dressed in a black diaper dancing in front of those preachers up there, and lust in their eyeballs falling out of the socket of their heads? What is this? Are these the religious, the spiritual leaders of the black community? I'm sorry to tell y'all, but the answer is yes sirree, boss. They're the leaders now. Those smiling faces, patting you on the back, saying everything's going to be all right. God told me. God ain't told them nothing. These men are so far away from God, you'd be surprised. No, you wouldn't. If you're a thinking person like me, listen here. If you're a day over 60 years old, God has blessed you because he wanted you to be here for a reason. And he didn't have you work all those years to make all that money to go to that building every week and to give that pastor 10% of a dime, nothing, not a penny. He didn't give you that money for that. He gave you that money so that you can be comfortable in your old age. You know, I think it's a wonderful thing that FDR did, Franklin Delano Roosevelt, for those of you that don't know, because these youngsters, if you mention which Roosevelt was the one that set in Social Security, was it FDR or was it his young cousin? They would say, what? Because they don't know. Now, the educated ones know, but the uneducated ones, wait a minute. It was on the news today. I saw it. Young black woman hitting her kid upside the head, basically knocking the kid's brains out. And they have a picture of her being taken into the jail. And some civil libertarian is going to try to get her off because she was mentally out of her mind. She killed that beautiful son of hers. Killed him. They had a picture of him up on the World Wide Web. What has happened to our children? What is it? What is going on? I want to tell you grandmothers and you grandfathers something out there. You need to take up some responsibility. First of all, challenge that bootleg preacher that's pastoring that church you're going to. Because if you're going to the church and every week that fool is asking for money, money that you earn, money that belongs to you, you need that money. Let's say that you have a retirement and your retirement is bringing you in, let me think of something reasonable, $2,600 a month. Your house is paid for. Your car, you don't even take that car. You take Uber wherever you want to go. And you got that money piling up. And when you go to church and that preacher starts mentioning your name from the pulpit, you need to ask this question. Why is Reverend mentioning my name? Why is it when you come up to shake his hand that he kiss you on your neck? And you kind of, ooh, that feels good that he kissed me. No, he's trying to smell your cologne. He's whispering in your ear. You know what he said to you, that pimp. What you should have done was slapped him right in his face and ring out the slap to knock his ass back. And so he know not to put his lips nor his hands on you. Wait a minute. Church events coming up, right? What's he doing? Well, we going to the Rolling Estates in this restaurant. Wait a minute, baby, you grew up in the projects. What you doing going to the Rolling Estates and pay $300 or $400 a ticket to honor him and his stupid wife with that funny looking hat she wears, and you won't even tell her how funny she wears when she comes up to you to shake your hand. Oh, Sister Walker, I'm so happy. Smiling faces, sometimes they lie. You people need to come to it. You need to come to the realization that in the black church, old black people have been taken advantage of, and you need to take the power back. And the way that you take the power back. Now, I know some of you are not going to believe me about this because the preacher tell you that if you don't give a tithe, you're going to hell. Listen to me. I was a Baptist pastor, and I never taught tithing. When I took over the church, they was teaching that stuff. I looked all through the Bible, especially when I went to graduate school You know what graduate school is? That's college plus. College plus another college. It's just another means to get more money. I think I paid a little over $40,000 to get a master's degree in theology. And while I was in that cemetery at Dead Men's Bones, because they had a scheme to get money out of me. But where else was I going to get this education from if I was going to be a leader of the black church in the black community? Well, I discovered that tithing is not for black people, not for American people, not for no Christian people. Tithing was a way that Israel took care of the 12 tribes of Israel. Now, if you want to be like these new young black groups that think that you are one of the 12 tribes, well, then you go and give all of your inheritance to these pimps and feel good. But I'm going to tell you, if you never give another dime to the church, it don't mean that you are not going to be welcomed by the God that loves you because of the goodness that you love other people and from other communities. I was leaving the El Pollo Loco place. I had a bowl of beans and a little chicken on it today. And I saw a young man. He must have been about 25, 26, laying on the curb. And it looks like his girlfriend was next to him. And she was talking with another man there. They were trying to ask for a couple of dollars because the young man obviously was hungry. And he couldn't make it. And you know what? I was going to pull around there and pull back up. But the other guy was talking with him and I didn't want to make a scene. But these young people are hungry in the streets. They can't get a job. Their families have put them out. And this boy was in the street, literally laying on the sidewalk, hungry. I drove a couple of more blocks down the street. I saw a white guy, looked like he was about 38. He was talking to himself, no shirt on. People are looking just disconnected. And a friend of mine told me that the homeless situation is growing in great proportions. But I saw one of the guys say on the homeless tape that this young man was putting together, oh, there's food down here. People come down here with food. They feed us and we eat it. You can get food anywhere. But see, food is not tackling the problem. The problem got started when we stop taking care of our own selves and our own communities. And I believe that the blame starts with the pastors of our churches. Now, I've known a lot of pastors in the church from the time when I was a young pastor because I was on the radio condemning their behavior, condemning their Cadillacs, Mercedes, their Rolls Royces, condemning the Reverend Eichenhoffers, condemning people that took money from poor people where the poor people needed the money themselves, took the money. Did you know this is, hey, this is the truth. This is the truth. I was a kid, and my grandmother and my auntie were good old Baptist sisters. When the Reverend would come by the house for dinner, when my brother and I was living with my grandmother after the death of my mother died when I was 12 years old, well, the preachers would come by for dinner. And even at my other grandmother's house and my mother's mother and at my father's mother's house, when the preacher came by for Sunday dinner, we ate last. We didn't get a chance to eat first. These women fed the pastors first and their wives. And then whatever was left. I remember one time I used to love stewed chicken with the light brown gravy and rice and green beans and biscuits with butter in it for Sunday dinner. I loved that meal. And my grandma, no one could make that meal better than her. I remember many a day I'm setting up watching Grandma feed the pastor and his wife, and they get the breast and the thigh, and usually we was left with the wings or a drumstick, if anything, after that buzzard ate the food. Why would a parent feed some stranger that's begging for money instead of feeding her children that God gave her? Now, we children saw that. I had a disrespect for preachers then. I couldn't help but to respond to God because he called me to preach. But I knew that when I became a pastor, I'd never do that. And I never did. I'll tell you a story. I went to visit a friend of mine in Ohio. And he said, John, you need to drive into Chicago with me there's a young a boy being installed in the church, and I want to go by there and give us time to talk. I was a pastor then. So I jumped in his car, and we jumped on the highway. We drove up, and it was a rainy day. I'll never forget. A rainy day. And we got there, and they were just getting ready to serve dinner. I was kind of glad that we missed the other part of the service where everybody get up and give them fake howdy, howdy, howdies. But they were serving the dinner, and they had me seated at the main table, you know, where the preacher sat. And I remember my friend said, this is my friend pastoring from Los Angeles, from the Olivet Baptist Church. I said, oh, man, don't worry about me. And my plate was like a glass plate that had gold around it. The forks and the knives were, well, they looked like gold. They were the color of gold, but they weren't gold. We had the best napkins. We had Canada Dry ginger ale in our glasses, and we were served first at this long table. We pastors and their wives and the deacons, and well, they weren't, because it was a CME church. And when I raised my head and I was going to eat, and I saw the other church members in a line, they each had, now it was raining outside. Some of them were still soaking wet. They had these paper plates. The water had wet the plates. The plates were sagging. The kids couldn't hold on to it right. They just put a chunk of macaroni and cheese in there and a piece of chicken and kept the line moving. And I saw the way one of them boys' eyes looked at me while I was eating. He looked at me and saw all the look-like-gold stuff that we were eating with and drinking out of. My stomach got sour after one biteful. I got up from the table. I said to the folk at the table, y'all, excuse me, please. And I walked to the front of the church, walked outside, and stood right on the porch of the church because it was raining, and I didn't want to get wet going to the car that I drove with, because I asked the preacher for the car keys. And while I was standing there, and it was a downpour, and he came by and said, where are you going? I says, I'm going to sit in the car and wait on you to leave. And he said, man, go in there. You didn't eat. They didn't serve the cake yet. And the pastor wanted to meet you. I said, I don't want to meet him. I don't want to see anybody like him. And I started crying. I said, this is not what we are supposed to be doing, man. This is a travesty of justice. And he asked me what I was talking about. And I told him about the boy with the paper plate, water all on it, macaroni and cheese and a piece of chicken. And I said, and we're sitting at the table dry, and the stewardesses, I guess you call them, they were served, and they were all dressed in white, and they were serving us. Like, they're so pure and they're so holy. They brought the chicken and the beef and everything in front of us, and we could pick the piece of meat that we wanted. And the other people were treated. Man, can you imagine? Now I hear that when they have church dinners, they're charging you $125, and they're taking you to the west side of town where you can feel like you somebody special. Let me tell you something. You live in the project, and you grew up in the south side of wherever you from, and life is rough, and you put on that dress that you spend 3 months to try to save up to get, to go and sit next to that pimp of a pastor you have, and so he can call your name at the table. I'm telling you, people, you need to take the power back. You need to take the power back. This is Pastor John, your internet pastor, ordained as a Baptist minister in the city of Los Angeles. I would leave a church before I took it, and my name has never been on church money, because if it was on money, I'd give it to the widows and the orphans, and I wouldn't give a pastor a dime during his appreciation. Now, I got a record that I'm going to play, and I dedicate this to Pastor Ellis, to T.D. Jakes, to Jesse Jackson, to the L. Sharptons of this world. Ray, you got your band ready? Do it.
Hit the road, Jack. Don't you come back no more, no more, no more, no more. Hit the road, Jack. And don't you come back no more.
What you say?
Hit the road, Jack. And don't you come back no more, no more, no more, no more. Hit the road, Jack. And don't you come back no more.
Oh, woman, don't treat me so mean. Could have been this old woman that I've ever seen. I guess if you said so, I'd have to pack my things and go.
That's right, hit the road, Jack. And don't you come back no more, no more, no more, no more. Hit the road, Jack. And don't you come back no more.
What you say?
Hit the road, Jack. And don't you come back no more, no more, no more, no more. Hit the road, Jack. And don't you come back no more.
Now, baby, listen, baby, don't you treat me this away. Cause I'll be back on my feet someday.
Say, I don't understand it. He understands it. I'm going to tell you, what you mean what she's trying to say to you? She's trying to give it to you the way a T.I. is. You need to hit the road. And I think that once we, yes, I mention names, people. I will always mention names. I mentioned names when I was on the radio here in Los Angeles. Somewhere on this website, you got to scroll down this main page. And there's an interview that I had with, what was his name? The preacher of the First AME Church here in Los Angeles, Cecil Chip Murray. And then when I had the conversation, it's on my website with E.V. Hill. E.V. Hill said, I didn't know you invited me to the studio for a crucifixion. I said, man, ain't nobody crucifying you. I'm just telling you the truth. That's when E.V. Hill was covering up the Henry Lyon scandal. That was the most scandalous thing. And there's a great little clip. I should try to look for it right now and play it for you. You wouldn't believe, but there was a black sister, an old sister in the church. She said, I've been a member of this church on Mount Zion for years, and I never heard such talk in my life. You got to know that these pimps, and Evie was a dear friend of mine. Dear friend of mine, he last time I saw him alive, he said, are you still talking that stuff on the radio? I said, yeah. And when they kick me off the radio, I'm going to talk it on my website. I want to admonish some of you people out there to tell these pimps to hit the road. Now, let me help you out. Because you ain't going to hell because you're not giving a pimp some money. That would be like a prostitute on the street making money for her own food and her pimp coming up to her saying, give me some of that money. Now, you said, how could you equate a pastor, Pastor John, to being a pimp? Very easy. What you doing giving him your money for services rendered? Was that a church service? You don't even know whether what that clown said is the truth. You know what? Let me tell you guys something. When I had my heart attack, a lot of people were saying, ooh, thank God that nigga gonna be dead. I'm quoting. Because they wanted me to be dead. I am not dead. I am still here loving the black community, loving my life. I tell young people, I tell middle-aged people, I tell old people. I tell gay people, I tell straight people. Ain't nobody gay going to hell. Because if all the gay ones are going to hell, all the straight ones are going too. Man, listen. The criterion of going to heaven, wherever that is, and I don't know where it is and what it's going to be like. You know what? I heard so much at that funeral. I said, where are these people talking about Aretha's going? What? I don't know. But I know this. If you treat any body bad. What that Ellis guy did, grabbing that woman almost on her breast on the stage, that little child. Somebody should have told that child she had no business getting up there with a pair of black Pampers dancing in front of a bunch of pimps. What kind of an impression do you think that left on white people in this country when they saw that globally televised event? I just want you to think about that. I've never been, you know what? I saw it and I said, no, I can't believe. It's all over the internet. But I know we don't want to do that. Thank God they didn't invite Jay-Z and that wife of his, because God only knows what we would have seen. And goodness, thank goodness they didn't invite Janet Jackson. Wasn't she the one at the Super Bowl dancing up on the stage with that young white boy and her breast just fell completely out? Listen. I'm just going to say it like it is. I'm not a perfect man. No, I'm not. I'm not going to tell you about my private life. That's none of your business. You got too much on your own track record to cover up. I'm just the internet pastor telling you the truth. If we're going to get some respect back in our lives, we got to start calling a spade a spade. And I didn't mean that to be a vernacular for black people. We got to call a deuce a deuce, a tray a tray. We got to call it like it is. I mean, the mafioso do better than us. At least you know when the hit is coming. Now, in order for us to gain face for the face that we've lost, the first thing that we've got to do is to tell the truth. Tell the truth. Keep your money and stay home. You got a Bible, read your Bible at home. I got Bibles all through my house. If you want a Bible lesson, come to my website. Listen, I got sermons, real sermons, exegetical sermons. I got sermon when Jesus turned the water into wine, everything. When Jesus walked on water, I tell you how he did it. All right, let's have a little sneak preview right now. Okay, think with me, old people. Did your pastor ever tell you how Jesus walked on the water? If he's a true biblical pastor, he would have had to have told you how Jesus walked on water. How did he pull that off? What did he tell you? I'll give you a few seconds to think it through. What did he tell you? Huh? Oh, you got to go to church and ask him. Pastor, I want to ask you a question. What is it, Sister Jones? How did Jesus pull off walking on water? You know what he's going to do to you? He's going to say, Sister Jones, God bless you. You just move over here and I'll send the deacon over there to talk to you. Because he don't know himself. He don't even believe that Jesus did walk on water. I remember once I was getting ready to go to church on a Sunday morning and I heard the senior pastor of Second Baptist here in Los Angeles. He was on the radio because, you know, they can afford to be on the radio live every Sunday morning. And he said, now, some of these miracles and things none of us know about. I don't know how they did it. I doubt if they did it in the first place. None of us know how any of that was done. And I started laughing and I told Lucy, my wife, I said, well, you need not go to church with me. She said, what, John? I said, Kilgore just said, oh, I gave you his name. Kilgore just said, don't none of us know how that's done. My uncle went to that church before he died. And he was ignorant as a $3 bill is not existent when it came to theology. They play you, they take your money, and then they play you with this fear of hell. And if you don't give them all your money, you going to hell. Well, look here, you people better think better than that. I think I know God personally. I haven't done anything to anybody. I haven't taken their money. As a matter of fact, I've helped more people financially. I have never taken money from anybody, especially in the church. I would preach my sermon and they would take up an offering. Guess where I was? I was in my study taking that wet robe off, putting a towel around my neck, getting ready to go out to my car to take my wife home with my children after I preach. Once a month, man, look here, the church made out. Because once a month, they just wrote me a little stipend, and that's how I made my living for those years that I was pastoring the church. When they got tired of hearing messages like you listening to right now, they coerced me to leave. And I did. And I've been doing this website ever since. Why are you giving your money to somebody that could get up off his lazy tail and get a job? Why? I don't care whether you're white, black, Asian, or whatever. The church is the biggest scheme that these men have put together. Now, you may ask me, well, you pastor the church, you were doing it. We were doing it during a time when things were decent. Now everything then turned triple-dyed indecent. When you got young black girls with black diapers dancing on the stage and preach. I don't even want to discuss it so much. Engineer, lead us out with some music. I need some music right now. Okay, one more sentence. When I look for an example or reason of what happened to us, it is nothing less than what Nina Simone says. And you just change Nina Simone to being your pastor, and he would tell you this as he begins to play the piano. As you are the biggest fool. And then she'd say, what, Nina, what?
Put a spell on you.
That's what they've done. Put a spell on you.
Cause you're mine.
Uh-huh. Some of you belong to the pastor.
You better stop the things you do.
Uh-huh. Say.
I ain't lying.
I ain't lying. Hold on to your money, people.
No, I ain't lying. You know I can't stand it. You're running around. You know better, daddy. I can't stand it cause you put me down.
Yep.
Yeah.
Uh-huh.
I put a spell on you.
That's exactly what they did.
Because you're mine.
Now, you know, y'all may think I'm committing sacrilege by talking with you like this. But this isn't sacrilege. I'm trying to help you. They put a spell on your behind, and you need to get out and live and be free. All right? Listen to Nina.
Huh. I love you.
Huh.
I love you.
Huh.
I love you anyhow.
Huh. Yeah, right.
I don't care if you don't want me.
Huh.
I'm yours right now.
Uh-huh. Listen.
Oh, you hear me? I put a spell on you.
Why is that? Because the pastor thinks.
I'm
listen to this.
Under the